gave me no choice. They said they want me to take a week off next week, so I have to succumb to the elders. It's going to kill me, Sandy, believe me. But you're in capable hands with Pastor Steve, believe me. Okay, I want to go to the 68th division of the Psalms. Now, just hold that. Don't put it up yet, Miss Ashley. So here's my deal. Devon, help me on this. I can't. Am I on? You guys can hear me? Okay. Just help me on this. I don't want to be here just preaching at people. I want us to learn together as a congregation. So if I just preach and... So sometimes I am long-winded for sure. I know you guys will know that. Because really, I want people to understand what I'm saying. And sometimes I gotta explain it. And I think it's really important. This is gonna be one of the toughest. So let me say it this way first. When an apostle, or a New Testament prophet, an apostle speaking in the stead of God, when an apostle speaks, when you read your New Testament, obviously the apostles wrote the New Testament through the inspiration of who, Mary? Of the Holy Spirit, right? So they speak in the stead of God. The apostle does so in a few ways. And this is important. I want you guys to understand this because we have to not only be good readers of the text, but we have to understand the text rightly. And Glinda, not only that, we have to be able to explain the text when something doesn't seem to line up. So I want to equip you, as I was equipped, how to read certain scriptures. Now, when you see a quote in the New Testament from an apostle, and he's quoting from the Old Testament, he does so in three different ways. He can quote from the Masoretic text, that's the text we have here, that would be the Hebrew translation, he can quote from there. He can also quote from the Septuagint. The Septuagint is what, Judy? I'm only kidding. The Septuagint, I'm teasing. The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. So you got the Hebrew translation, you got the Greek translation. So he can either quote from either of those or what he also can do, he can understand a certain word in its cognate form. I know this is a lot, but please, it's my desire for you to understand the Bible rightly. What do I mean by understanding a word, Johnny Boy, in its cognate form? The word receive, when you think about the word receive, what do you think? Somebody receives something, right? I mean, you receive a gift, or you receive a present, or whatever. Or you receive a spanking, right? Or a blessing, good. I knew Kathy would be right on this. The cognate form of the word receive in the Hebrew text also means with the idea of giving. So you receive to what? To give. So when the apostle, speaking in the stead of God, will either speak directly from the Old Testament that you have, the Masoretic text, or he'll speak from the Septuagint, or he'll let you understand a word in its cognate form. So in this case, when we read in our Old Testament about receiving gifts, it happens to be that we are going to talk a little bit about spiritual gifts today. So thank you for putting some blessing on this service, because this is a hard, hard message. So I want to try to, and Devin come up to me, he says, "You got something good for us, Pastor?" I said, "I don't know, man. I hope." So keep those things in your watch pocket, especially in the cognate form. When somebody is to receive, it's the idea of receiving to give out. Okay? So, and I'll try to point, and that's why I use the Old Testament a lot, but, and I'm sorry for this lengthy introduction, but the reason I'm doing that is I want you to understand what I'm going to say this morning. Because then what good is it? You know, so I want you to understand that, if I may. So that's the introduction. Let's go to the 18th division of the Psalm, 68th division of the Psalms in the 15th verse. When I read the last verse, not this one, when I read the last verse, verse 18, that's the verse I want to concentrate on, because that's the verse that Paul is going to quote when we get to the New Testament concerning teaching gifts in the church, which are spiritual gifts. Am I convoluted? I'm not convoluted. Am I okay with this? You guys are all right? I don't want to sound okay. I want to make sure I don't care how long this takes. I really don't. I want to make sure you guys understand, because it's important. I want you to learn to read the Bible rightly. So this is important. And if I'm a little convoluted, I'm serious. Come and see me on Monday. I know it's a holiday, but I'll be here. They're chasing me out of the church I'm already thinking about me not preaching next Sunday. See, I'm talking about next Monday. But come and see me Monday, meaning tomorrow, if you can, if there's any question here. Let me start in the 15th verse. Oh, thanks, Miss Ashley. A mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. A mountain of many peaks is the mountain of Bashan. Why do you look with envy, O mountains with many peaks, at the mountain which God has desired for his abode? Surely the Lord will dwell there forever. The chariots of God are myriads, thousands upon thousands. The Lord is among them at Mount Sinai, or Sinai in holiness. Here's the verse. You have ascended on high. You have led captive your captives. You have received gifts among men, even among the rebellious also, and the Lord God may dwell there. Okay, there's a lot here. Let me give you a synopsis of the whole psalm. In its entirety, it depicts the unflinching praise for the powerful warrior God of Israel and God's power and might all over the world. God is a warrior for his people. The Bible says in the New Testament, Sonny, that he fights your battles. He's a warrior God. And when he comes back, he came here as a lamb, but he's coming back as a warrior. He's a warrior God. So this psalm all speaks about that. We don't have time to get into that. Now, the Canaanites... The mountain of Bashan is something that the Canaanites associated their god, little g. That was, they would say that that's where our gods, little g, would dwell. Mount Sinai, we know, is the place where the law was given by Moses to the people of God. So here, Mount Sinai, almost like the psalmist is like personifying these two mountains. Like Mount Sinai is, say, basically, Bashan, you ain't really nothing because you incorporate idols, but Mount Sinai is where the Lord dwells. Got it? I mean, you see, this is figurative language. It's hard, but you know what? We need to learn our Bibles, right? We need to understand this stuff so when we read it, we're not like, what the heck does that mean? Right, so I'm just giving you a little background here. And then it says in verse 17, the Lord is surrounded by his myriads of heavenly servants who reveals his holiness on Mount Sinai. Remember Mount Sinai? That's the place where Moses gave the law, where he got the tablets, and we know that. Now, here's the verse. In verse 18, it talks about these gifts. You have ascended on high, you've led captive your captives, you've received gifts among men, even among the rebellious, also of the Lord God may dwell there. When people went to war in the Old Testament, when they went to war, they would, when they beat or destroy a nation or beat them, they would take what? They would take their spoils. They would take their stuff. Right? They would, you know, that's, and they would actually lead back in procession with all these things that they've taken. Would they use the word that was called plunder? Right? You know, you have your plunder. You'd come in with a sack and, you know, like, and, hey, I got my, you know, this is what I got. And so this is, I'm trying to break this down so we can get this. So when you would go to war, you would defeat them and you would bring back these gifts, these plunders, this gift, this plunder, so to speak, right? Now, in verse 18, God receives gifts among, God receives gifts among men. Here, it says in verse 18, the word receive actually has the connotation to receive and then to what? Give out. Good. When God delivered his people out of Egypt, he conquered the Egyptians through the what? Through the plagues. Remember, he used the plagues. He used what scholars call secondary causes. In other words, God could have sent the quail. Remember the quail in the Exodus? He could have sent the quail, just boom, quail. But the Bible says he used a what? An east wind. Does God need an east wind to bring quail? No. But he uses secondary causes, and I'm not confusing you a lot here, right? I'm going to try to wrap this up. I know, so here, and there's a lot here, and then Paul is going to get into this a little bit. Okay, when God delivered his people out of Egypt, he conquered the Egyptians through the plagues. God's people were set free. They were given gifts by the Egyptians. Remember when they left, all the Egyptians were giving them all gifts? Get out of here. We can't wait till you leave. Right? Now, that wouldn't, you got this? Now, God was the one delivering them. He was the one really receiving the gifts because it was God, and he's giving them back. Okay? Right? So he's the one that conquered these gifts. Glinda, you're there? No glazing, right? I'm like all over the place here, but I want you to get this. So God is receiving these gifts because God is the one that the plagues, because of God, they're getting the gifts. And God is getting the gifts and saying, these are my gifts, they're yours. They're yours. This is what, if you got a gift today, it is not in your own doing. It is a God-given gift. If you have any spiritual gift that God has given you, it's because God has given it to you. It is not in your own ingenuity. That's my plight. Melba and Nikki got a gift with the kids, and they know how to navigate through them kids. That's a gift from God. It's not in their own stead. And this is really important because right away we start thinking that we're all that in a bag of chips. If you have a gift today, it is given to you, and it's given to you because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, because he defeated the powers here, and we're going to get into that. That's why I want you to understand this passage in the Old Testament, because it's kind of convoluted, because really, God is the one that progenates. He's the one who conquers sin and death and the devil, and he takes for plunder and he gives gifts to men. Okay, now I'm preaching. First I'm teaching, now I'm that's why I preach. Don't try to look up that word in the dictionary. Go to the Greek translation. Yeah, right. So, the Egyptians gave God's people gifts, which ultimately came from God, and basically, he took the Egyptians captive. Right? I mean, the Egyptians thought they had the people of God captive, right? God got them released, and then he winds up taking the Egyptians captive. When they try to go past that sea where God opened up for them, they what? They drown. See, Devin, I can, you got it? You can repeat it? He says, Devin is slick, man. Devin, yeah, you want me to, he probably could repeat it. I can't even repeat what I said. Never mind Devin, but I'm sure he could. And Paul, now we get to Paul, Harlan. Paul will use this text and depict when God in Christ rose from the dead, he gave gifts to men. But this victory was, this now, the victory here was setting the captives free from Egypt to the promised land. We know the context, Jan, right? That's that. Now, when Paul, I'm trying to set you up, not in a bad way, I'm trying to set you up so you can understand when we get there, right? So, but this victory was set different. In the New Testament, Paul says this victory was setting us free from the captivity of sin and death, setting us free from the captivity of Satan. This is so, you got to get this, man. So you see in Egypt, you get free from captivity of Pharaoh, but in the New Testament, you're now free, if you're a Christian, from the captivity of sin and death and the devil. Now you know why I took 15 minutes to explain this. Because, Kathy, do you understand? If you are not a Christian, you're in captivity. And you are in the will of the devil and doing what he wants you to do. You have to be set free. I have to be set free. Look at the language, Johnny Boy. It says that you are being held captive by the devil to do his will. I mean, that stuff is hard. So here, Paul, because Paul is an apostle, he speaks in the stead of God. He says, you see, when you was held captive, when our people were held captive in Israel, they were set free. But you've been set free from sin and death and the captivity of the devil. Have I made my point? Okay. Whew. Praise the Lord. Don't ask me ever to repeat that. You better keep that on tape, Miss Ashley. Go to Ephesians. Okay. Now I can hang out down here a couple of minutes. What, Donna? What happened? You okay? You okay? You understand that? I hope. Don't ever ask me to repeat it. I'm going to take a breath now. Okay. Starting in verse 7. Ashley? Oh, wait a minute. Ashley got a new job this week, man. Ashley got a new job. God gave you a gift. He gave you a gift. Okay. She'll kill me later, probably. But starting in verse 7. Now, here's the quote comes right in verse 8. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, anytime it says, therefore, it says, he's going back to the Old Testament. When he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Didn't we just read that, right? Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself, also he ascended far above the heavens so that he might fill all things. So basically, let me stop. He obviously was in heaven, came down to earth, got crucified, rose from the dead, and went back to heaven. Very simple form, and that's what we're saying here. And he gave, and here's where he now gives the teaching gifts in here. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. For what reason? For the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, until, why do we need this? Until we attain all to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And the outcome of this, as a result, we are no longer, listen to this, guys, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming, which allows us to speak the truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Listen, we are depend on every part in spiritual gifts. We depend on every part. Listen. I don't care how, if God has gifted me to preach God's word, I need a microphone. And I need Gene back there to get that voice on. I need all of them back there. And so God has gifted everybody in this church so the outworking of God can work in this church. This is not no one-man machine. If it was up to me, and I love Pastor Steve, if it was up to me, I want to preach next Sunday. But the elders said you need to take a rest. But we're going to talk about that at the next elders meeting. I'm only kidding. I'm teasing. So we depend on each. Listen, you don't want me to sing. You don't want me to play that piano. I don't know what I'm doing. The Bible says, I'm sorry, Rachel, I'll get right off here. Let me get her. She'll have a heart attack. The Bible says that, Ms. Taylor, don't charge me. The Bible says that we all have these gifts. And the reason you have a gift is because what he done for you on that cross. Because not only that, he did not stay on that cross. He descended here into earth. He got crucified. And what, Sandy? He went back to heaven as a victor. He is a victor. There's victory in Jesus. Now let's get into the text. Honus says, look at verse 7. He describes rightly that each believer is sovereignly and graciously given a gift or gifts. But we are, now please hear this. Be careful. Gifts are not just for church leaders. The elders aren't the only ones with gifts. I'm telling you, I can go down. I know everybody pretty well in here. And I know they have gifts that I could never, ever do. Ever. Donna's got the gift to reprove you. I'm telling you, Donna will let you know. She will shoot from the hip every time. She is not soft stroking that. Me, I get a little, I don't, you know, I call Donna. She's going to hate me, but Donna will let you know what time it is with the quickness. That's an old jail saying, Donna. But I'm saying, and there's other people that can be soothing like this Donna, right? Donna's like, I never heard her yell. Son, you never heard her yell in your whole life, right? Yeah, yes, I have. And then here, and Donna's saying, what are you doing, man? You're giving me right up. Only teasing. I'm only trying to, because this is some heavy stuff. So it's not limited to church leaders, but distributed to ones who are in the body of believers. So there's oneness in the body, but there's also diversity. See, that's the big thing. We need diversity, right? We need, if we all did the same thing, if everybody was preaching, we'd be like maniacs. No, right? Nobody, right? People have the gift of listening. There's so many gifts God has given his people. The problem is here, they're going to talk about the teaching gifts. And this is where it gets a little tricky. Let me tell you right now. Don't charge me on this. Don't shut off from the sermon. There are no more apostles today. There's no more apostles. There's also no more prophets that are future telling the word of God, because you got everything in the Bible. If somebody comes and tells you that the Lord said this, and I wanna make second Ephesians, throw them out the door. There is no prophetic word. There is no future telling today. In fact, let me get the tough stuff right out of the way. Even the Old Testament prophets, most of the time, 85% of the times, they foretold the word of God. They did future tell, but they weren't fortune tellers. Kathy, you know, what they did was they expounded the word of God. They expounded the Old Testament. But they had the ability and the gift that God gave them to future tell. And everything was what? Pointing, what was their future telling about? Pointing to who? To Jesus. When somebody comes and tell you, Taylor, don't get on that plane because God said it's going to crash. Get on the plane. You know why? Because I'm going to tell you something. In the Old Testament, we know this. In the Old Testament, if you get a prophetic word wrong, what does the Bible say to do? Stone them. Stone them. So when somebody tells Taylor don't go on that plane, and she goes, she's going on the plane, what are we going to do, stone the guy? Yes, Taylor says, yeah. Look at the, like father, like daughter. Devin says, we could. That's the hard stuff. I can get that out of the way. Now listen, Kathy, we got enough. Listen, we can't even exhaust this Bible. Never mind a guy telling you something. You hear these. You hear these guys on TV. When people jump, I like this when people are in tune with me. She's saying, remember the old Baptist, say it, brother. Speak it, brother. Right? I'm saying, we hear these guys on TV saying about, you know, this and that, and this is going to happen. Line it up with the word of God. Everything that I say in these sermons, line it up with the word of God. Prove it. Thank you. This is the sermons I like. We can just talk back to each other, right? But these are teaching gifts. So if Steve comes up here next week and says, I got a word from the Lord, no, man, Steve, you heard, stone him. Man, these Rachel, you heard that? Man, this is a blessing to be able to speak like this as a family, man. Because this is hard stuff, man. But I'm going to tell you something. The apostles and the prophets were trailblazers for us. They were trailblazers. That's who we follow when we teach and preach. Listen, we are responsible every time. Harlan, with fear and trembling, both you brothers, anybody that steps behind that pulpit, you need to step behind there in fear and trembling. Because we actually speak in the stead of God. I mean, Devon, this stuff is not easy for any of us. I don't care if you're doing a Bible study. Melva, I don't care if you're teaching the kids. You are teaching. These are serious matters. You can't take this stuff lightly. Anytime you're speaking from God's word, you got to make sure you got it right. Look, I'm no tent maker, but Paul was a tent maker. And if you anybody campers in here, I need showers. But anyway, but people, I know Patty's saying, what is he going to talk about now? But I'm saying, when you build a tent, if you just leave a little opening, there's going to be a snake that gets in there. No, right? But I'm saying, When you're teaching God's word, you have to cut the scriptures straight. If you leave that one opening, we're in trouble. So these are gifts. When God has equipped pastors and teachers, these are gifts. There's nothing listen, this is the last thing I ever thought I would do in my life. But these are gifts. And that those gifts, again, those gifts are given because he defeated sin and death. And you was in the captivity of the devil. I was in the captivity of the devil. But because of what he did, he gave gifts to men and women. I wanted to get that in too. Because you know why? Kathy would have been calling me up on the phone later. The church works together with its various dispersed gifts, which are given by God to his, who at one time were taken captive by the devil and doing the enemy's will. This leads to the victory psalm quoted by Paul in Psalm 68. You guys got it now? Praise the Lord. Okay. All right, you guys are making fun of me. That's okay. No, I'm only kidding. Honus summarized nicely by stating that those who were held in bondage have been freed, receiving gifts of the Spirit by their victorious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, no more held in bondage. So basically, we've come out of Egypt, but in a higher way. We've come out of Egypt, but the Bible says we've come out of the power of sin and death. And the devil who wanted to take us captive. If you're a Christian today, you've been taken, Frank, out of captivity. You listen, if you're not a Christian, Rachel, I'm off here in a second. If you're not a Christian, you are in captivity. And you're in bondage to sin and death. Devon, listen, do you understand how high and mighty this is? This is amazing. And if you give me more weeks off, we'll get sermons like this the week before. I'm only kidding. And this victory is enormous in its nature because it doesn't apply only to the Ephesian believers. It applies to us and everyone down the line. I mean, God is an eternal God. We serve an eternal God. In fact, our struggle against sin and death, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, freeing us from bondage, from the captivity of Satan, and we know that. But you know what? If we are not Christians, we're still in captivity. You're still in bondage of sin. You're still under the tyrants of Pharaoh. Man, what a God we serve, Judy. Or else we'd still be in captivity. Do you understand the world? If you are not a Christian, you're a walking dead man or woman. You're a walking dead man. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care what you've built, because they don't recognize, Rachel, number two, that everything they get is a gift from God. Everything. The wife that cooks you those fine meals is a gift from God. The ice cream that you buy is a gift from God. And you know what? We are usurping his authority on the highest level when we take credit for all that stuff. Chief just put in I don't believe this. You go in Rachel's office and there's cameras. We can watch this whole place all around us. He's been gifted to do that. And we thank God. We rejoice. You have me to do that. We'll be watching the Giant game from in there. So this is, I mean, so we work together. You know, you know, Paul uses the ear, the eye, the nose. I mean, you know, listen, I mean, so this is, we're all working together to bring what? The unity of the body. Paul uses the victory procession that was expounded in our opening text to show to the victors comes the spoil. And in the context, it is God who is victorious for his people. Satan is deceptive. It is only through God's Spirit that one can realize this bondage. That's why the songwriter says, once you were blind, now you can see. You listen, how can you go up to somebody, such a successful guy in life? I mean, I don't expect you to do this. And just tell them, listen, brother, you're blind. You're in bondage. You're in the captivity of Satan. He's going to think you're crazy. But you know what? He is. He is. And that stuff is not easy. Do you understand? If you're not a Christian, you are in captivity, and you're going to be held in captivity. And someday, if you don't turn to Christ by the Spirit, you're going to be in captivity eternally. That's serious stuff, Jan. It's nothing to play around with. And this is why, notice why I started in the Old Testament, because it ain't about Mary, it ain't about Sonny, it definitely ain't about Dominic, it ain't about Dana, it's about Christ. He's gifted the church, the gift of marriage. That's a gift. But in this context, he's speaking about the teaching gifts. Now we say the apostles and the prophets, they were all trailblazers. But look who comes after them. Look who comes after them. Evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We better follow in the stead of the apostles and the prophets. That's who we follow. That's who we follow. That's why this is a high calling, right? Look at verse 9 and 10. That's the theological essence of the victory. That's Christ's death and resurrection. That's the theological premise of this. He descends into earth, he gets crucified, on the third day he rises from the dead, goes back to heaven, and then gives you the spoil, the plunder. By defeating Satan and the evil powers, he now gifts his people. That's what he does, because he won the victory. You didn't win the victory. You didn't win nothing. All you did was he received and gave to you. That's the cognate of the verb there. He received, but he gave it to you because he's God, Taylor. Well, I call them the Home of Hope girls. You know, they're our heroes because they can speak to people that we cannot speak to, because they come from a different place. But God has brought you out of captivity, but now you can speak to people in your certain captivity. That's why God gifts his people, not because, hey, look, I'm a great preacher. So what? There's a million great preachers. What does that mean? I need the body of Christ. I need my elders to tell me, hey, my fellow elders, you need to take a break. I'm taking a break, kicking and screaming. But I'm taking a break. Look at Glinda. She's all smiles. She's been telling me that for weeks. I got to put on the tape that Glinda got her hair to be purple again. Just in case they follow us that closely. I doubt they do, though. Hona depicts that the redeemed of the Lord, or the people of God, are given these gracious gifts. And newsflash. They're never to be used individualistically. They are a body. You got all these dudes on TV and saying, look at me, I'm this, I'm that. You ain't nothing until God gives it to you. And gifts are used in the body of Christ. Right, Harlan? We use them amongst each other. I need the wisdom of a Sue and Rachel and Glinda. I come, I'm not ashamed. I don't know how the elders didn't change their phone numbers already. Because I need help. And you need help too. That's why we're a body. That's why there's no, Paul uses noses, ears, eyes. And you know, I've learned a dire lesson from that. From my brain surgery, I don't have no smell. Rachel turns around and says, great, he doesn't have to smell my morning breath. But I miss, it's not smelling morning breath, but I miss, sorry about that. I don't miss that. But do you know Rachel yesterday made this marinara sauce? Listen, do you, when garlic and olive oil, come on, Kim, you know what that smells like? And I'm saying, I'm just thank God I'm alive, but we know garlic and olive oil, come on, I want that smell to be in heaven. In fact, I thought I'd be in heaven when I smell that. But I can't smell, but that's okay, I'm alive. And I'm able to teach and preach by God's grace, but I can't smell. And sometimes that's good in the morning, but bad when you're cooking at night. I'm avoiding you today. I am not going to hang out with Donna today. She's been shaking her head ever since I started preaching. These gifts cannot be paid for. They cannot be bought. They are grace gifts. They are gifts that were bought and paid for. See, the gifts are already bought and paid for by the death and resurrection of Christ. O'Brien states, having achieved dominion over all the powers through his victorious ascent, he sovereignly distributes gifts to the members of his body. Now, please hear this. I got this right here. This speaks specifically of teaching gifts. But if you go to 1 Peter, if you go to Corinthians or Romans, you'll see all the gifts. The gift of hospitality, right? You got the gifts of, you know, people have a gift of giving. You know, that's why, you know, we give, but sometimes we can be a little tightwads, you know, and we like to, you know, but there are people that actually have the gift. Those are the people that God gives the money to, probably. Because it don't mean nothing. You know, the rest of us, we got to go, we get just to pay our bills. That's it. Because who knows what we would do, right? But some people, God is gifted in giving. He's gifted in hospitality. In the giftings of faith. Some people have a certain gift of faith. Some people, our faith is kind of always wavering. Lord, I believe, help my belief, unbelief, right? But some people have got, but in this context, it's just teaching gifts. But you know the gifts, they're all over the place. Hospitality, again, you know, giving and you know, people have gifts of administration. Miss Glinda. And she, and you know, Glinda will be the first one to tell you, it ain't my gift. It's something God's given me. But without Glinda, nobody gets paid. And I'm not talking about the pastor or anybody else. I'm talking about the lights. They'll be off. Everybody's got the gift. I got the gift of gab. No, I'm only kidding. Kathy, don't. That's my Kathy. And this is for the building of a body is intimately linked with his intention of filling the universe with his rule, since the church is his instrument. See, you don't, listen, I don't care what gift you got. If you got the gift of that Nikki's got of cleaning the church, do you understand that's a God-given gift? She can, even though she can clean a little better, and I'm only kidding, but I'm saying, But she's got a God-given gift. These are all gifts, and they're all basically, since the church is his instrument in carrying out his purposes in the world. What a calling this is for God's people. It's a holy calling, one that comes with a huge responsibility. Wherever you've been gifted, look what it says at the end of verse 10. So he might fill all things within the body in the church. Evangelists, in this case, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why are evangelists needed? Why are evangelists needed? So they can go tell it on the mountain, right? You need pastors and teachers in the church. so we can be equipped to know the Word of God, so we can apply it rightly. Listen, there's something called, and I don't want to get wordy, but it's important. There's something called exegesis or eisegesis. I'm going to explain it. It's simple. You got to understand the text when you're reading it in its original context. That would be exegesis. But if you'd look at the text and just let it say what you want it to say, that's eisegesis. That's what you thinking what it means without knowing what it means. Let me say that again. You think you know what it means without knowing what it means. Go and speak to the elders if you have a problem with the text. Or maybe you may pick something up that maybe one of us may misspoke. Hey, we're only human. Don't come down and, you know, usually when people come in to the pastor's office or speak to the elders, and they'll usually they don't want to discuss, they want to tell you. Listen, you need to, let's discuss this. You might be wrong. You might be. I'm not saying you are, but you might be. Let's look at this in its context. Let's look at this why I said this. Or maybe I did make a mistake. Don't crucify me. I'm only human. Right? But we got to open those doors up for discussion. But we want to make sure that we're not eisegesing the text. Where we're just, you know, well, where does this text come from? Where was Paul speaking to the original audience? And that's called exegesis. And hermeneutic is bringing it into today. But you got to get it from where it came from. You can't change it, Natasha. You got to understand what Paul is saying in the original context. Then take it and bring it into today. Then that's Holy Spirit driven. Then you're speaking by way of the Spirit, not by the way of Dominic. And that comes with careful, 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 careful study of God's Word. Because you are responsible when you stand in this pulpit or you're behind that Bible study, you are responsible. And you know what? Don't tickle nobody's ears, man. You don't, because God is not going to tickle your ears if you tickle people's ears. If you got to tell them hard, tell them hard. If you're not saved, you're going to hell. Don't charge me, charge Paul. Your beef is with him. That's why giftings in the church is so important. Really important. Johnny Boy, newest member of the church, he's got a gift with the kids. I mean, you got to see him during VBS. And he could dance. I don't know if there's a gift of dancing. Johnny says, no. But I'm saying you got to see him with the kids, man. You got to see him with the kids. I mean, people, and that, praise the Lord for that. You get me up here, them kids will run a million miles away. Here's the distribution of gifts, verses 11 through 16. So filling all things, verse 10, end of verse, is the actual gifts that God has bestowed on the church by his victory over Satan and over sin and death for his believers. The first gift that is mentioned is the apostle. I call that an apostle with a capital A. No more apostles today. Don't, there's no more apostles. Now, the word apostle in the Greek means sent ones. Sent ones. Now, I believe they're sent ones, and if they want to call themselves apostles, they better call them apostles with a little A. Because they're all sent. That's what the word apostle means, sent one. But apostles with a big A, those are the ones that heard from God and wrote Scripture. They wrote Scripture through the inspiration of the Spirit. Don't be telling me that what you're writing here is, you know, don't, please. Let's just, you know, God told me this. Is anybody familiar with the word rhema? Rhema is very, very, and I got to say this, I know I've said this before. If you store the Scriptures, if Mary, do you read your Bible every day? Yes. And for how old are you? Perfect example. How old are you? She's 88 years old. You've read the Bible since, what, give me an age. Since, oh man. Do you know how many Scriptures she has stored in her? When she prays and she's in a problem, God, and she, I don't even have to look for her. I know, I already know Mary. Mary will be praying, and God will shoot a scripture right in your heart about something you may be praying about, and you know it's God because it's the Bible. Has that ever happened to you? Of course it has. Then you know, that's why the Word of God is what? Sharper than a two-edged sword. So the more Bible you read, the more God can press those things in your spirit. If you ain't reading no Bible, you ain't hearing from God. You're hearing from you. So the more Bible you read is the more that you store the scriptures, and God will bring out what they call the Rhema word. You'll be praying, and all of a sudden, Donna will be praying. He'll say, you need to take care of the pastor. I'm only kidding. But there will be a scripture that will be pressed in your spirit. But the only way you're going to have that is if you read. That's why some people God has given the gift of study. Those are the people that's a gift. There's a gift of study. So I want to try to explain how these New Testament gifts operate, obviously. Apostle, no more today. Prophets, there's no more prophets telling the future. There's no more Jeremiahs, there's no more Isaiahs, no more Haggais, there's no more of them. But, do we foretell the Word of God? Of course we do. Harlan, you foretell the Word of God. If Harlan gets up there and says, you know, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen tomorrow, we'll get him off the pulpit, which I know he'll never say that. But we have the Word of God. Now we prophetically foretell it. Praise the Lord. There was trailblazers before us. No more apostles, no more prophets. We don't need them no more. They did everything. We now foretell. We go evangelize, we preach, and we teach from the Word of God. You don't want me preaching anything else but the Word of God, right? You wouldn't be here. See, I mean, this is really, and this is giftings. Thank God for the apostle. You know, you want to be an apostle? Yeah, well, all our beloved apostles were hung on a cross or got their heads chopped off. Oh, you want to be an apostle? Oh, yeah, sure you do. You want to be an apostle on your own terms? You want to be a prophet? Go look at what happened to the prophets. Thank God we just carry on that stead. And that's because of the victory that Christ won on the cross and the resurrection. This is how this happens. So when Stephen Harlan preach or teach and I do, it's not their gift. It's their gift that God has given them. Nothing they established. The canon of Scripture is complete. There'll be no more new revelation needed. But looking at the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament prophets, they mainly foretold God's word. We need to expound God's written word correctly. So let me talk about this for a second. I'm going to close out in a couple of minutes. Because I think we got this. I think we kind of understand this. I mean, I tried to labor at this. This is really important. You know, Judy, this is really, really important because we want to make sure who we're listening to. Devon, we want to make sure that whoever we're listening to, they're lining up with the Word of God. That's important. Whether it's me, whether it's Steve, whether it's anybody, whoever your guy you watch in TV, I ask you not to watch that much TV, please. There's a couple of good guys, but check with your elders first before you start listening to some of them guys. Today we live in a world of disarray. It's a dog-eat-dog world. What these scriptures portray is there's unity amongst diversity. There's unity amongst diversity in the body. For sure. And we want to make sure that we know that. Unity amongst diversity. We need to be equipped. Look at verse 12. This is all for the building up of the body of Christ with the eye for the goal of, we all reach this unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God. Verse 13. We need to be equipped. Why do we need to be equipped? What's the reason? Look at the reason, right? Verse 14. So we're no longer tossed to and fro with all these different teachings. Can they confuse us? You can listen to this guy, that guy, Frank, but because we're equipped rightly, we're no longer tossed to and fro by the wiles of the devil. It's not that the devil is not one that, oh, he's scary. He's so subtle that he wants to infiltrate the teaching of the church. That's what he wants to do. He wants to throw you off kilter. He wants to, you know, there's only, listen, don't believe the hype. Taylor, there's only one truth. There's only one truth. There's not two truths. Only one truth. There's absolute truth. Satan will say, come on. The Buddhist guy, look how nice of a guy he is. He's a devil in sheep's clothing, man. Was it? Oh, no, I'm sorry. A wolf's in sheep's clothing, right? But it's a devil too in sheep's clothing, right? So this is why Paul labors at this stuff. That's why he labors at this. False teaching is one of the chief ways that the enemy uses to take people captive. We need to be good readers of the text. We need to be serious readers of the Word of God. Hona depicts that lack of spiritual growth causes instability, but we instead must grow in the measure of Christ. This is so important that it was mentioned earlier in our text. And in the end, Hona depicts believers, by the utilization of gifts, grow to Christ, who is the head and the source of our growth. Carolyn, this is great. This is really great stuff. God uses dopes like me. And you ain't that smarter than me. But he uses us. He doesn't use he uses people in the schools, and thank God for my education. I praise the Lord for that. But at the end of the day, you know, we are, you know, look at us. Imagine God using somebody like me to preach the gospel. You figure you got to pick a guy making seven figures or eight figures and, you know, just the main. No, but he uses the foolishness of the world to confound the wise. You know why? Because it's not my gift. It's his gift. And he won it by coming down to earth, being put on the cross, and then resurrecting from the dead and defeating sin and death and the devil again. What a picture. How could we not, Kathy? I know Kathy won't charge me on this. Kathy, how could we not want to serve a God like this? You can play that piano because God has gifted you. And she's not doing it like Billy Joel to make, I'm not saying Billy Joel's a bad dude, but Billy Joel's a lot richer than Kathy. Because she's doing it because it's not her gift. It's his gift. And she's giving it out. Just like Christ did. He gave you a gift to give out. I'm sweating. Last page, if I can find it. We know the Bible depicts that we should grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is true. But I want you to see the source of that growth. Look at verse 15 and 16 as we close. The final two scriptures rightly depicts that Christ is the source of the growth of the body of believers. Proving, as James depicts, every good and perfect gift come from Steve. Every good and perfect gift comes from Sonny. No. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. That's what the Bible says, right, Dan? Every good and perfect gift comes from above. I didn't say that. That's what James said. Who happens to be speaking in the stead of God. If you got a gift, It's not yours. It's his. Right, Harlan? Every good gift comes from above. And the reason is, they grow the church by being carefully fitted and held together rather than growing individually apart from one another. These gifts are to be used in conjunction. In conjunction. So we grow as a body. We grow as a body. These are not self-initiative. It's not self-initiative things that causes growth, but the gracious action of God, who again is responsible for the fitting and the holding together of believers. He reconciles his church, Jew and Gentile alike, into one body and utilizes the various gifts among individual believers so Christ can be all in all. And I'm done. I mean, there's no more to say. I just hope, by God's grace, if I may, that we understand this text rightly now. And the way that Paul would go to the Old Testament, bring it in. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be honest with you. Don't ever think you're a single O in this thing. We need the body of Christ. I need Leroy. I need Darlene. And I'm not ashamed to say it. Don't ever think you don't need us, because we need you. And we need each other. We are a family here at Desert Sky. We need each other. Glenda, I need you. She knows. I don't surprise why she hasn't changed her number. But I'm going to continue to call my family, continue to rely on the elders and the people in this church, because I'm going to tell you something. God has maybe gifted me in preaching and teaching by his grace, but there's a lot of other things I struggle with big time. And I need you guys big time. I'm serious. And I'm not just talking to move the air around. We need each other. And you know what? You could have wrapped this message up in 2 minutes. Paul is saying we all need each other. We all got different giftings. In Jesus' name, let's stand.